Good morning. So good to see each of you in worship this morning. If I could draw your attention to our church bulletin, I'm going to mention several announcements that are listed in here. I will not mention all of them. I invite you to read that at your convenience. Also, take note of the pew pads, which are located at the end of your pew. We invite members and guests alike to take that down, jot down your information, pass it down. Once everybody's completed that, we ask that you pass it back to the center of the aisle, and we'll pick those up later on today. We'd just like to get a record of your attendance and say thank you for being in worship today. There is book club tomorrow night, Miss Mary says. Also, we are in the process of collecting our items for our Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. I think we're collecting those items through December the 7th, I believe. No? November. That's what I meant to say, but talking about Christmas got me all out of whack. Through November the 7th.
I got him. You made Jeff.
No. Hey, I got Jeff back in the sanctuary with that one. Through November the 7th. So if you'd like to bring those items, their boxes located out in the hallway, we invite you and encourage you to do that. This week is a big week in the life of our church. We have Fall Festival coming up this Wednesday from 5 to 7 o'clock. We need you to come, mingle amongst the people, invite somebody to church that you might not know that's here with your families playing. But we also need trunks. We need kid-themed trunks decorated up. Like I said, if you can't decorate a trunk or if you're not creative like I am, you can ask the family ministry team, and there's some creative people on there, and they really just need your car. If you have a trunk or any sort of a trunk, they can make it work. Also, we need candy to pass out to the kids. It's a great time for us to reach out in our communities and let them know who we are and how we do things, and we encourage everyone to participate in that. We are having hot dogs. That will take place of our normal Wednesday night family activities. So come and get a free meal, and let's be the hands and feet of Christ together right here on the street corner. We do have children's time, I believe, this morning following our first hymn. And there's several people with announcements, so I'm going to get down. And Barbie Morgan has an announcement. So I said Morgan. Gosh, I knew I wouldn't. I put Morgan in here.
Kale.
I know it's Kale.
I forgive you. I still say Barbie Morgan sometimes, too. All right. In September, a hurricane named Florence settled in for a long visit along our North Carolina coast, brought tons of rain, and ruined lots of farms, roads, schools, and homes. The North Carolina Baptists on Mission, were immediate in their response, and they started helping people. In the first phase, we did a lot of mass feeding. The North Carolina Baptists, with their outdoor kitchens, worked with Red Cross, FEMA, and other organizations and served over 1 million hot meals. Now we're into recovery operations. 1 million? 1 million. Over 1 million. Now we're in recovery. We have sites at 14 different towns. So far, over 3,500 recovery jobs have been completed. They have 2,000 more waiting and receiving more applications every day. After recovery, rebuilding will start. That will continue for as long as it takes. College Park's collection and delivery supplies was amazing and timely. Now our help is needed with recovery. Karen and Terry Loeffler recently accompanied a woman to her flooded home to assess the damage. It was the first time she had been back. She saw everything she owned reduced to mud-crusted, moldy, smelly garbage. Everyone cried. It's awful what a flood will do. We can help. 14 towns need people like us to help them put tarps on their roofs, strip drywall off the studs, drag furniture to the streets, clean dishes, spray disinfectant. We need men and women who are willing to pull on gloves and get a little dirty. Now, going with the Baptists on Mission is more than just getting dirty. We take hope. We talk about Jesus. We pray with the families. Baptists on Missions take God with them when we do our missions. Many organizations will go and help out, but all they do is help with physical needs. They don't help the spiritual needs. So College Park wants to send a team to leave on Wednesday evening and come back on Saturday. So we would work Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We have a date of the Wednesday after Thanksgiving, November 28th, and return December 1st. At this stage of planning, if you would like to go and you want to go, but you can't go then, just let me know and we'll see what the best date is for more people. We just picked that date as trying to stay away from Christmas and get past Thanksgiving. Disasters don't happen at convenient times. We're all busy, and we all have lots of things to do. But I can give up 3 days to help somebody else. I'm going to have an organizational meeting for anybody who's interested on Thursday evening here at the church at 7:30. And we can talk more about what we'll do, where we'll go, what to take, all of those details. But if you are interested, please let me know. My email address is pretty easy. It's fearnotbarbie@yahoo.com. If you will send me an email if you're interested, then I can be back in touch with you with more details. Fear not. That's what the Bible says 365 times. So it's fearnotbarbie@yahoo.com. Let me know if you can go. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Barbie. If you're a guest with us for the first time, we just want to extend a special welcome to you. Our ushers now are going to return back down the aisle, and as they pass you by, if you could just slide up your hand, we want to give you a little information about who we are and how we do things here at College Park. Inside, there's a letter from our pastor. Also, there is a church newsletter, which will let you know about all the different activities and ministries going on here at the church. I'd also like to recognize right now Mr. Russell Talley that has a special announcement for us.
Sorry, it took me so long to get up here. Baptists generally sit towards the back, but ushers have to even be behind them, so it takes a while to get up here. Yeah. Don't know how many of you were aware of this, but October is Pastor Appreciation Month. I think we should appreciate our ordained staff year-round, but we can let this occasion sort of serve as a reminder of how fortunate we are to have such a great crew as our ministry team. the deacons and personnel committees kind of pooled our resources to offer a small token of our love for the staff and for their faithfulness. And my wife helped me find these nice souvenir quality envelopes in a drawer at home, which they'll want to save, I'm sure. And, of course, we Christians know that it's what's inside that counts, right? And the staff can enjoy counting what's inside. Okay. I know it's Sunday morning, but after I hand these envelopes out, I'm thinking we should probably erupt in thunderous applause, but give me a minute here and I'll hand them all out, okay? Jeff, come at me, bro.
I guess on behalf of the staff, we would just like to say thank you. We feel blessed to be here to serve amongst you, and we very much appreciate the souvenir envelopes. So I will treasure that forever. I'd also like to recognize Mr. Skip Chinlin now. He is going to come and introduce to us our 2019 deacon candidates, I believe.
Good morning. The Deacon Election Committee is real pleased to report to you that we have a great slate of nominees. This basically gets us halfway through the process, and we want to take a minute here to help you get acquainted with these people. When I call the nominee's name, if you would come down forward so the folks can get to see you. The nominees this year, we have 12. They are Kathy Chinlin, Carolyn Ely, Josh Hooser, Bill Henson, Wayne Lewis, Chris May, Krista Morgan, Nate Morgan, Josh Norman, Stephanie Phillips, Karen Rose, and Alice Wilson. Now, if you haven't seen it already, there's a brief biographical sketch in your bulletin this morning on each of these nominees. We couldn't be more pleased with the group that we have. Reminder, the election is 2 weeks from today, and we hope that everybody will be in deep, prayerful consideration as we make this important decision this year. And I want to personally thank all these nominees for agreeing to be put on the ballot. Thank you.
As Mary just said, we can get to worship now, the important thing. That's why we're here. It's great to be in God's house. There's a lot going on here in the life of the church. It's a great place to be. But this is why we're here, is to worship our Lord and Savior. So as we begin our worship, let's join our hearts together in prayer. Pray with me if you would. God, we just want to gather today to sing praises to your name, to say thank you for what you've done in our life, what you're doing in our life, and to fulfill all the promises that you say you're going to do in our life. God, that is why we gather. That's why we do all these things we've mentioned today. That's why we're here. So, Father, let us forget everything else, and let us worship you now. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Are you? Well, I'm glad one of you's okay. All right. Now, something special happening this week, right? Anybody getting anything special this week? You're not getting any candy this week? What? What if I told you there was like candy everywhere in the sanctuary? What would you do? It's not. It's not. It's not. It's not. But what would you do? You would go everywhere, right? It's kind of like, what if I were to say that there, does anybody know what this is, right?
A dollar.
There, this dollar has a twin. Somewhere close by here. And it could be whoever finds it gets to keep it. What would you do? Yes. So I'm going to tell you, there's a dollar bill somewhere in this general area. Front row. What would you do?
Find it.
Well, then go find it. Go find it. Go find it. Go.
For real?
For real. For real. Look, look. Where is it? Where? It's not in Pastor Raymond's envelope. No. No, no, no. No. No, look. You have to look. You have to look for it. Look. Look in the books. Look. Look inside books. Where could it be? No, there's another one. See if you can find it. It's in the front row. No, it's not in my pocket. It is for real. Y'all got to look harder than this. Y'all are not practiced at looking for money. They hand it out to, what do you look? Got to look underneath stuff. Oh, my God. Yeah, look. Y'all aren't looking hard enough. Oh, look. Oh, we found it. Good job. Come sit back down. Did y'all think I was playing a trick?
Yes.
Oh, my reputation precedes me. You get to keep it. You get to keep the dollar. You found it. Now, what did we do when there's money available? What do? We start looking everywhere. We're excited. I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm looking for this money. Just like that candy. If I said there was candy everywhere, you would have gotten up and gone as fast as you could. I have a question. This morning when you got up to come to church, were you that excited to come to church? Oh. Were we that excited to come to church?
No.
No. We wanted to sleep in later. But the truth is, that dollar bill is going to, it'll buy you something. But what we learn here at church is so much more valuable. We spend a lot of time trying to get candy and trying to get money when we have the Bible. And the stories that are inside of it are so much more valuable. We need to be excited more about God than we ever are about candy or money. That's the truth. That's what we need to work on, to be excited about what we're learning, to come to church, to see our friends, and to learn about Jesus. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for all the ways you have blessed us. You have given us so much. In fact, we're going to get so much candy this week, we won't even be able to eat it all. It's a reminder of how you have blessed us. Help us to seek after you first, more than anything else. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You can go back to your seats now. Good job. For those of you that are wondering, there is a $100 bill somewhere out there. And I took it out of Mary's envelope. All right. Ministry of God's Word comes from Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 through 9. We'll be reading out of the New International Version. This is on page 464 in the Pew Bible. If you do not bring your Bible, there is a Bible there in front of you. Proverbs chapter 22 on page 464. Be reading verses 1 through 9. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common: the Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. In the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul stays far from them. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. The rich roll over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble, and the rod of his fury will be destroyed. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Will you pray with me? Father, this day, we stop to say thank you. For a country that is so rich beyond measure, abundant in resources, how often do we waste them? How often are we greedy about them? And yet, Father, you continue to bless. You want us to recognize the needs that are all around us, starting in our own hearts. Forgive us when our pursuit of worldly things outweighs our search for you. Forgive us when we are so focused on living the dream, we do not see the struggle of our brother and our sister. Thank you for the opportunity you give to us to be part of your work in this world. All you ask is a small percentage return on the 100% that you have given us. You ask us to give back as a sign of faithfulness, as a sign of gratitude, as a sign of humility. Help us to be worthy of that. As we see the needs of our world within our country and all around the globe, the greatest need is the hope that Jesus gives, the forgiveness that he offers, and the purpose you have created us with. May we see every opportunity that you give to us to share your love by word, by action, by giving. Thank you for your blessings They offer us the opportunity to make a difference in the name of Christ. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Let's pray and give thanks for this day, for this place, and for this staff. Father, we thank you for this time and this place. We did not ask for it. We certainly don't deserve it. We are here because we need this place. And it was in your wisdom and your grace you gave us this time and this place to remember you, to thank you, to learn from you. No matter what kind of week we just had, we need this place. Father, please accept and bless these gifts in order to strengthen and grow this place in accordance with your will. In the name of the one and only Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. beautiful.
Barbie has already told you that we are actually going to put some more hands and feet on the situation with the hurricane down east. What she didn't tell you, and I will tell you so, is that we are in contact constantly, as you may remember, with our ministry partners down in that area, and talked with Billy Tarleton at Grifton Mission Ministries the other night. And he said, Raymond, we're in that situation again. We need food, we need water, we need personal hygiene items. So all of that tonnage, literally, that we sent down, I mean, it's going out as quickly almost as it gets down there. So this week and probably next week, we'll be collecting food, water, personal hygiene items, just like we did before. Same deal, food, water, personal hygiene items. The boxes will be out. They're still out. In the garden lobby area there, otherwise known as the gym lobby. And they'll be out there so you can place them in there. Josh, that was here with our deacon candidates, said, you got the truck, just let me know where you need it, when you need it. And he said, and we'll transport it all down for you. So we are going to continue in that vein where there's a need. You know, I told you when we started this, the need was going to be huge and the need was going to be extended. And what happens with a lot of ministry groups, you know, they kind of get a little bit of fatigue. You know, they said, well, we've already sent food and water down there. Well, yeah, but you've bought more groceries, you know, that in the time that's passed since then. So for a lot of people, they don't have the capability to do that. So we are the hands and feet. I know you will be faithful and respond to that. So just wanted to give you that word. And actually, our theme in worship for the next several weeks dovetails very nicely to all of this, because we are going to be in a study entitled Enough. This is our fall stewardship emphasis. If it sounds like a kinder, gentler way to say it, it's our Thanksgiving emphasis. But the bottom line is we want to give thanks for what God has provided to us and make sure that we are being the best stewards that we can of what God has provided. The title will be called Enough, as I've already mentioned. And I will take unashamedly, I will take direct quotes from Adam Hamilton's book entitled Enough, a little short book, but it's a great resource. Also, I'll draw quite a bit from resources from the George Barna Group. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them. They do a lot of surveying as it relates to stewardship and Christianity and sociology and cultural trends. And it's a great, great resource in terms of knowing kind of where our culture is and what the values of the people are. Also, the Disciple Study Bible this week was very helpful as I began to prepare for what I'm entitling today's sermon as When Dreams Become Nightmares. When dreams become nightmares. It has nothing to do with Halloween, okay? When dreams become nightmares. And what I'm referring to by the dream is the American dream. What is the American dream? What characterizes the great hopes, the desires, the dreams of most Americans? For most people, the American dream has to do with the desire for achieving success and satisfying the desire for material possessions. Stuff. I need more stuff than they've got. It's the opportunity to pursue more than we already have, or to gain more than we have, or to gain what we really want, and therefore meet success as we would define it, or as we think the world or our neighbors might define it. You see, we tend to measure our success by the stuff we possess. Do you think that's an accurate kind of synopsis of where our culture is? Yeah, I mean, I think it is. Choir, can we have a vote? How many think that's accurate? Yeah, most of them agree. Most of them agree. See, that's kind of what we're being taught at every turn. You see, the love of money and the things that money can buy is the primary or secondary motive behind what most of what we do as Americans, right? Think about how you spend the majority of your time. Think about how you spend the majority of your resources, your financial resources, personal resources. You know, and people say, well, we live in a capitalistic society. I get that. And this is kind of the dark side of capitalism. Capitalism says you need to buy in order for it to be successful. How do you stimulate the economy? You go buy stuff. I mean, that's the message we're constantly getting. And so we as Americans have bought into that. We want to consume. We want to acquire. We want to buy our way to happiness. How has that worked for you? Not only do we want to buy our way to happiness, we want it now. We want it now. I want this stuff and I want it now. But the American dream has become an American nightmare, owing to really at least two illnesses that I want to outline for you this morning. These illnesses affect us socially as well as spiritually. The first one, first illness, is affluenza. See what I did there? Isn't that cute? You like that, okay. It's affluenza. Affluenza. What is affluenza? It is the constant need for more and more and bigger and better stuff. It's also the effect that this need for better stuff has on us. If you don't believe affluenza is prevalent in our society, just watch your TV this week. Watch your TV. Here is the new phone. Last year's model will no longer do. All the cool kids have this new phone. You need this new phone, and wink, wink, Christmas is coming soon. And they'll probably tell you how many days left until Christmas. Affluenza. We need this stuff. We need new stuff. Affluenza is the desire to acquire. The desire to acquire more stuff. And most of us have been affected by this virus, at least to some degree. Don't believe me? Well, let me ask you a question. The average American home, now those of you that were 9 o'clock service cannot answer this, all right? The average American home in 1973, think about that, 1973. Think about the average square footage of the American home in 1973. Choir, got any guesses? 14, 15, 12. Pretty close. Actually, it was 1,660 square feet in 1973. That's the average. I don't remember my family home having that much, but that was the average in 1973. Any idea what it might be today? Again, choir? 22,000. It's actually between those two. Choir's pretty spot on today. You know, they must have stayed at Holiday Inn Express last night. It's 2,700 square feet. That is the average American home today. 2,700 square feet. And people, families are not getting larger. They're getting smaller. 2,700 square feet. Get this number. Today there is an estimated 2.3 billion, with a B, 2.3 billion square feet of self-storage space in America. 2.3 billion square feet. We don't have enough room in our 2,700 square foot homes to put all our stuff, so we have to rent a storage bin down the street. That's amazing. Affluenza. What has it done to us? The second disease, which is related to affluenza, is called creditis. Well, I do what I can with it. Okay. Creditis, okay? Creditis is an illness that is brought on by the opportunity to buy all of that wonderful stuff now and pay later. Pay for the rest of your life. Right. Yeah, pay for the rest of your life for this wonderful stuff. And see, it feeds on this need we have for instant gratification. You know, microwaves have been one of the biggest conditioners of that. If you found yourself standing under the microwave going, come on, hurry. What's wrong with this picture? What is wrong with this picture? But we do the same thing with our purchases. We need it, we want it, and we want it now. The American economy is built on this concept of creditis. But unfortunately, it has exploited our lack of self-discipline and has allowed us to feed our affluenza and it has wreaked havoc on our personal and national finances. Don't believe me? Any idea what the average credit card debt in America was in 1990? That happened that long ago. 1990 per person. Choir, you're doing a great job today. 1,200? 3,000? Spot on. $3,000 per person in 1990. Now, any idea what it is today? This is the real test. Any idea per person today what the average is? 8,000? 10? $17,000 per person. That's credit. That's just credit card debt. $17,000 per person. Now, couple that with the fact that the average sale, now when I say sale, I'm talking about when you go into a store to buy something, okay? The average sale, or when you go on Amazon. The average sale, but in this case probably retail, because it's 125% higher if we use a credit card than if you pay cash. They track this stuff, people. Yeah. 125% higher if you pay with a credit card instead of cash. Why is that? You get to pay it over time. It doesn't feel real. I mean, when you whip the plastic out, I mean, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. It feels pretty good, right? Yeah, I get all this cool stuff. All I had to do is show them this. Yeah. Whereas if you have to pay with cash, you start peeling them things out and you go, whoa, I tell you what, let's put that back. I don't need that. I really don't need it. Put that back too. You know, this credit thing. Creditis, though, is not limited just to credit cards. You know, it extends to car loans, mortgages, other loans. You see, what happens is the average life of loans of all kinds have gotten longer and longer and longer in their terms. Have you noticed that? You can get a 50-year home mortgage loan now. Most homes being built now will collapse before you've paid for it. I've seen them built. It's terrible. And car loans, 10-year car loan. By that, they've depreciated all the way. I mean, your car's worth nothing by the time you get it paid for. 10-year car loans. And while the length of the terms of loans is getting longer and longer and longer, the average American savings rate continues to drop further and further and further. You see, but here's the deal. There is a spiritual issue behind both affluenza and creditis. Our souls, who we are, we were created in the image of God. But that has been distorted. We've allowed that to become distorted. We were meant to desire God, but we've turned that desire towards stuff, towards possessions. We were meant to find our security in God, but now we find our security in our stuff. We were meant to love people, but now we find ourselves competing with those people so we can get more stuff. We were meant to enjoy the simple pleasures of life, but we busy ourselves pursuing money and things. We were meant to be generous and to share with those in need, but what has happened is we either selfishly hoard what we have for ourselves, or we're so far in debt we can't give to anybody else. All of us have an inclination towards selfishness. And it's a sin. Selfishness is a sin. And the devil plays on that inclination towards sin. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." As was pointed out, we had a discussion with a couple people after the 9 o'clock service. The issue probably at heart is, how do we define abundant? How do we define that? In spiritual terms, material terms? How do we define that? You see, in order to destroy us, the devil no longer has to tempt us to do drugs or to steal or to have an affair All he needs to do to convince us is to convince us that we need to keep living the American dream. If he wants to destroy us, all he has to convince us is to try to keep up with the Joneses. Apologize to anybody whose last name is Jones. You know that's a common phrase, okay? All right. You know, all he has to do to destroy us is to convince us to borrow against our future and our children's future. Enjoy. Enjoy more than we can afford. Indulge ourselves because we deserve it. How's that? You see, by doing that, the devil will rob us of joy. He will make us slaves to our creditors. And it will be an easy step from there just to keep us from doing God's will because we're so distracted or so depressed, we can hardly exist. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Again, the devil took him. Who's him? Jesus, right. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All of this I will give you, he said, if you'll bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. If only we could plug back into that. And we can. Luke chapter 8, verse 14, the context of this is the parable of the sower. Remember that the sower went out and sowed the seed? In verse 14 it said, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. They never grow up. They never become the disciples that Christ desires. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Pursue the material at the sacrifice of the spiritual. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money, notice I didn't say for money, I said for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. If you go back to the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10, it kind of presents the same idea in different words. It says, the lover of money will not be satisfied with money, nor the lover of wealth with gain. This also is vanity. So how do we fix it? Scripture outlines it for us pretty clearly. We need a change of heart. Although we received a changed heart when we received Christ in many ways, every day, I think we need to start fresh. Every day we need to say, Lord, help me today to be the person that you created me to be. Help me to be the person that I should be with your power under your leadership for today. Help me to be single-minded in pursuing exactly what you want me to do today. And that includes, God, all that you've given me. My time, my talent, my treasures, all of that. Put it in proper perspective. And as we say this prayer and as we act upon it, God comes. And I believe he cleanses us from the inside out. He changes our heart. He purifies us. But we have to allow him to do that work. He still gives us a choice. We have to allow him to do that work. You see, Christ works in us as we first seek his kingdom and as we strive to do his will. That looks a little different than our will. His will looks a little different from our will, but as we seek his ways, we will begin to sense kind of a higher calling, exactly what he's called us to be, a calling to simplicity and faithfulness and generosity. We begin to look at ways that we can make a difference with our time and our talents and our treasures. How can we help other people? How can we truly be the hands and feet of Christ, God, with what you've given me? And by pursuing solid financial practices, we free ourselves up from debt so that we're able to be on mission in the world. not worrying about tomorrow, blessing people that need our help. You see, a key part of that process is found in simplicity and exercising restraint. With the help of God, I think we can. We can simplify our lives and silence those voices constantly telling us, you need more, and you need it now. Let me suggest three things work on this week. First of all, live counter-culturally. When you see the commercials, just mute them. You're not missing a thing. Just mute them. Live counterculturally and live below, not above, your means. That'll be a challenge. That'll be a challenge. But work on it. Second, build into your budget the ability to pay with cash instead of credit. People say, what about debit card? That's fine, but you know, if your debit, you know, card, if it's done with credit, you know, you can over, you know, you know the trap there, right? Okay? Work into it. Try to get to the point where you can pay with cash. There are still some retailers that accept cash. There are some that don't, but there are many that do. Thirdly, build into your budget what we need to live basically, simply, and still remain faithful to help others in need. Work on those three things. After the 9 o'clock service, one of our wonderfully creative men, Bill Buettendorf, y'all know Bill. Bill Buettendorf came up to me and says, we need to make a banner. We need to make a banner to put out front for next week. And I said, what would it say, Bill? He said, immunization for affluenza offered here. No credit cards accepted, but do not worry, your assurance has paid the cost. Isn't that nice? That is nice. Immunization for affluenza offered here. No credit cards accepted, but do not worry, your assurance has paid the cost. Would you pray with me? As your eyes are closed and your heads bowed, I invite you to do something a little bit different. Take your hands and place them on your lap, and then turn your hands and extend your palms upright. This is a posture of extending yourself, giving yourself to Christ. It's also a posture of receiving His word. And I invite you to pray this prayer with me, silently, under your breath. Just pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, change my heart. Cleanse me from the inside out. Make me new. Heal my desires, my selfish desires. Help me to hold my possessions loosely. Help me to love you. Teach me simplicity. Teach me generosity. And help me to have true joy. I offer my life to you. In your Son's precious name we ask. And all of God's people said, amen. If you're here and you do not have that primary relationship with Jesus Christ, that is the most important part of what we do in worship. Acknowledge who we are before a wonderful Savior. So I invite you, as we stand and sing in just a moment, I'll be here at the front, be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. That's primary. Secondary is getting your life back in focus. Instead of allowing material things to rule your life, take control of that. Give those things to Christ. Get things back in their proper priority. You can certainly do that where you're seated. The altar will be open if you'd like to come here. I'll be here at the front, be glad to pray with you if that's your desire. Also, if you'd like to be a member of College Park, there's a lot of ways we receive members. We welcome you. Be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your heart's desire is, decision you'd like to make, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. want to invite you, following benediction and a choral response, greet one another, meet our guest, be sure and extend that College Park welcome. Speak a word of encouragement to one another as we go and seek to be the hands and feet of Christ this week. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this time. Father, to help us to understand just how important it is to you for us to live lives that are free from the slavery of indebtedness. Father, the only person we should be indebted to is you, because you have given us life and life eternal through Jesus Christ, and you desire for us to have abundant life. Father, we thank you for that, and we praise you for who you are. And as we seek to serve you this week, we pray that you would bless as we go, that others would see you through us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.